Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
And everyone said, amen. I know Marquise and Precious have been on the road, well, since yesterday, but early this morning for them. I know what you guys done. You guys get on the road this morning? 8:30, so 8 o'clock. Whoa, that's early for them on a Sunday, right? So, thank God for bringing them here safely, there and back. How was the reunion? It was awesome. Good, good. So we thank God for that. And remember, next week is the women's conference. So we will be here Friday night, Saturday night as usual, and then Sunday morning, Sunday night. Sunday morning will be regular service, but Sunday night is an additional one. So we expect that God is going to move by his spirit. Believe that God will touch the speakers and the singers and all the people that are in the program. We just pray that God use them mightily. Amen? And so we want to get to this. So we left off last time. We were talking about why we get tempted in our lives. And we basically came to the conclusion that there's three reasons. And of course, is number one is because of we have desires, or we desire something. Now, the reality of life is that we always have desires. And I said this last week. There's not, if you're alive, you have a desire. Amen? Right? I mean, that means eating. You have to have a desire to eat in order to live. Working, you have to have a desire to work or earn a living, or if you don't want to put it in those terms, to make money. That has to be a desire. And as you pursue those desires, temptations come around those desires. These are all legitimate desires, but temptation tries to get you to do something other than fulfill those desires according to God's will and God's plan. So we have to know that if we're going to eat, the temptation from eating is what? Don't eat too much. Amen? Don't eat the wrong things. Be moderate in your eating. One of the things I've learned, when I was younger, and Annis could probably attest to this, I used to eat so much. I mean, I remember when I was like a teenager, you know, Thanksgiving, oh man, that was like the time. Because my sisters were all older than me, and they were in high school, and I think I was in junior high at that time, and they brought some of their guy friends over, and they looked at my plate all piled up, and they said, is he going to eat all that? And, you know, in our house, you didn't get what you didn't eat. And they said, yeah, he's going to eat it. And I told Annis when I met her, my hobby was eating. And you might say, well, how come you're not fat? Well, back then, I used to work out, and, you know, fat didn't stay on me, so it didn't matter. I mean, I used to consume probably 2,500 calories a day. I mean, I ate. I mean, when we ate breakfast, we ate 6 eggs, 6 pieces of toast, 6 pieces of bacon. I mean, and then after that, grabbed an apple going out the door. I mean, we would eat. And it wasn't we. It was mostly just me. My brother ate a little bit, but he couldn't eat in the morning. I had no problems morning, noon, or night. I could eat. But as I got older, I started to realize I can't eat like that. I remember one Thanksgiving, I ate a lot, and I was like, oh, Lord, I can't do this no more. So now, you know, I get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and that's about it. So you learn as you go that, yes, you have to eat to live, but as Annas' brother used to say, some people eat to live, and other people live to eat. So we cannot be those people that live to eat. We have to eat to live. Amen? So that means we have to curb our dinner, our food appetite. We have to allow our bodies not to be overwhelmed with food. Amen? And then the other one that causes us to be tempted is our curiosity. We're curious about something. You see something and right away you know you probably shouldn't go any further. But our curiosity wants us to know what's behind the curtain. Amen? That's what's behind. Remember, you guys remember Let's Make a Deal? I don't know if they still have that show. I know they bought it back for a while. But the curiosity of what was behind the curtain, always he'd give you money in your hand. He'd say, here's X amount of dollars. Do you want to take the money or you want to see what's behind the curtain? And folks would always want to see what was behind the curtain. Sometimes they'd have a donkey on a cart behind the curtain, and they took them. They didn't take the money, and they got the donkey behind with the cart. Curiosity will tempt you to do things you wouldn't normally do, and we have to make sure that our curiosities are held in check by the Spirit. Now it's. You don't hear a lot of talk about curiosity in the church. That's because a lot of times we don't understand curiosity is another form of desire. It's just one that we don't talk about. And then when, especially now in this day and age with the internet, you get emails, and this is why people get viruses. They send you a phishing virus, and you're intrigued by the subject. But you know you have no, don't know who it's from. You know you don't know what the source is, but your curiosity, everybody say curiosity, causes you to click, and boom, you got a virus. And the enemy plays on our curiosities just as he does on our natural desires. So we have to be careful not to allow our curiosity. Oh, I wonder what that is all about. That's curiosity to get the best of us. Amen? And then the final thing is that causes temptation is when we're all vulnerable. And whatever that means, it could mean a lot of things. But like I said, it can mean when you're tired, haven't had any sleep, haven't had any food. You know, I don't know, most of us get grumpy when that happens, or and I really have to be careful about that, because Annas used to always call me you're always grouchy. That's what she used to call me. And so I had to start to say, I don't want to be grouchy, so I got to stop that. But when I came home from work, usually because I had been dealing with people I didn't care to deal with, sometimes you don't want to deal with the people that you come in the house that you have to deal with, like your family, right? So you take out you're grouchy towards them when you should have probably been grouchy to the people that you were working with. So you have to be careful not to allow the enemy to make you grouchy, make you angry, make you upset, because those are times when you'll say or do something that you will regret doing and saying. Amen? Also, vulnerability comes in when, we talked about this, when a relationship goes bad. I don't know about you. I remember when I didn't really have any girlfriends, so to speak, but I had a lot of crushes. I had a crush on one of my, you know, there's one thing about sisters, boys, they have some of the best looking friends that you've ever seen. And my older sisters, every girl that came to the house, I was like, boy, this is amazing. So there's one I picked out specifically, and I had a crush. I was 12, or maybe not even. Yeah, I was 12 because I was in the sixth grade, and she was 15. Obviously not a match made in heaven at that time, right? And so I had a crush on her, and every time I saw her, I those cartoons, you just float in the air, you know? That's how I felt. And then finally I told her I liked her, and of course she told me, "You're too young." And guess what I did, the mature person that I was? I busted out crying. I cried for hours. I cried. I was just to prove how mature I was, I cried. I'm joking now. But no, I did cry. And she felt sorry for me, so she let me tag along a while, which probably wasn't good because that just fed the crush longer and longer. But that's facetious, but I would have, if I was older and that would have happened, I could have been vulnerable and gone out and done something stupid because I was hurt. I did say stupid things. I used to say after that stuff like that happens, I'm never going to like a woman like that again. I'm never going to be that vulnerable again. And that's what we call defense mechanisms that cause problems later in your relationships. And as I became a believer, I understood that those were traps of the enemy to break up and destroy the relationship that I have with my wife, because if I believed what I said, I wasn't going to be vulnerable, I wasn't going to put myself out there, I wouldn't have done that with my wife. And therefore, I would always be on the defense, always trying to hide. And that's the danger of multiple relationships outside of marriage. And I'm not talking about sexual, I'm just talking about boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. If you don't marry the person that you're having a relationship with, you usually break up, and that breakup always causes a break in your heart, and you try to protect yourself the next time. And so these are all temptations that we have to be aware of, and you have to learn to be open with your spouse, open in your relationships. That's why, no matter what, even though it hurts, I try to tell Annis everything that I'm doing. When I say hurts, that's when I've done something I don't want to tell her. But the Holy Spirit makes me tell her for my good. Amen? Say that. For my good. Because, see, if I'm not accountable, I can fall into other traps. Accountability makes you confess to people. And by confessing, you get the things out of the darkness and into the light. Remember, the Bible says that he the light of the world came to the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The more you keep your deeds in the light, the less the enemy has to use to tempt you. That's why it's so important to be honest and upfront with everybody. You should be honest with everybody. You don't tell everybody everything. You have to tell only some people everything, because everybody can't handle this. You know, if I had a bad criminal history, I can't just walk up to anybody in the church and say, "Yeah, you know, I used to be an armed robber. I robbed a couple of banks when I was young." Folks wouldn't talk to me after. Some folks like, "Stay away from that guy. Don't leave your wallet around because he might not be delivered." Now, but there are some people you do tell things like that to, because you need to, people have to accept you for your past. Amen? That's what it means to love people despite of what they've been through. There has to have somebody they can tell what they've been through so that they can see that they're not going to be rejected. Amen? So those are the three reasons why. And then, of course, the who tempts us is, number one, is Satan. He is the master tempter. Really, the power Satan has is in temptation. If you go back to the beginning, he didn't have any power over Adam and Eve. But he tempted them, and once he was able to tempt them and they believed him, he gained power over the not only Adam and Eve, but the whole human race. So his greatest power, and when Jesus died on the cross, he took away that power that Satan had over the human race by opening the door of repentance to all. Now, the unfortunate reality is that the world has not embraced what Jesus did. So Satan still has a ruling kingdom because people won't accept what Jesus did for them. Amen? But this is his temptation power is his greatest power, and he still tries to use that on us. Amen? And the next person who brings us to temptation is me. Everybody say me. Our sin nature, our self, and let's read Romans chapter 7, verse 21, and then James 1, verse 12 through 15. Romans 7, 21 says this, I find then a law that evil is present in with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. We have a battle that we have to constantly be aware of. Now, we have now power over this battle. But the reality is the battle is still there. And if you don't believe me, just go to thinking about what you used to do as when you used to be in sin. Just I shouldn't say go to thinking because I don't really want you to do it. But we all know that when you start to think about, reminisce about what happened before you accepted Christ, you can almost experience the same emotions and the same experiences that you had at that time. And that's the enemy trying to draw you into that stuff. I told you, like I said, that's why I have to be careful the music I listen to. And I'm not tempted by the modern music because I didn't grow up on that. I listen to the Sugar Hill Gang. That was the first rap group. And I can actually recite all their words, but I won't. And I hear music. I used to listen to Parliament and all those groups. And some songs I hear, they take me back. And I have to fight my mind not to go there. Because the things I used to think when I heard that music, I don't want to think no more. So I either start singing praise music, I bring my thoughts, I command those, I tell those thoughts to go, or I start quoting scripture. I got to get that stuff out of me. I can't meditate on that nonsense anymore because it'll take me in a place that I don't want to go. And that's what we have to be conscious of. That's what we have to be aware of. We cannot, and that's why I try to tell people, most people don't believe me. And I shouldn't say just me because I'm not the only one that advocates it. That's why I tell people, don't listen to secular music because it'll take you a place where you really don't want to go. I mean, you listen to songs all day that says, I'm so lonely, I'm so lonely, I need somebody, I'm so lonely. Guess what? You're going to start preaching to yourself. Huh? Come on, talk to me, y'all. What's going to happen? I'm lonely. I need to find me a mate, a companion, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. That's drawing you. But see, when you listen to things like, God is a good God. Yes, he is. Then when you go away from that, you can say, God is a good God. God is good. God, I thank you because today, don't mess with that boy. Because today, you could think about all those things that God has done and you can just get excited about God being a good God. Amen? He was about to stick something in the socket. That's why I said that. He's a slick one, he is. Let's go to James chapter 1. You're okay. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So our own desires, when they're not brought under subjection, bring us into temptation. Amen? And of course, the last one is other people tempt us. Everybody say other people. I want to go to a story. It's a strange story in the book of 1 Kings chapter 13. It's one of the most bizarre stories that you read in the Bible. If those of you that haven't really gone to 1 and 2 Kings, those are the story of all the kings in the Bible, their reign, what they did good, what they did bad, etc., etc. And this story is about the northern kingdom of Israel, which separated from the southern kingdom of Judah. Judah was the tribe of David and Solomon and all that, and they separated later on. And so this is after the separation took place. So chapter 13, verse 11 through 25. And it says, now an old prophet, well, let me go back because I'm not going to read the whole story, but a prophet came to the northern kingdom and prophesied that God would judge Jeroboam, which was the king at that time. Jeroboam was the king that took over the northern kingdom. And for history's sake, there was two kingly lines in Jacob's family. One was Joseph, and one was Judah. Benjamin slipped in there, but Benjamin was only one term, and that was Saul. But initially, God had promised that Joseph would rule over his brothers. Remember that? And I know it came to pass when they came and bowed to him in Egypt. But Jeroboam, if you don't know this, was a son of Joseph. So Joseph was given the northern kingdom of Israel. David was given the southern kingdom. But Jeroboam caused the children of Israel to sin. He didn't want them to go back to Jerusalem to worship God. So he erected two golden calf statues, and those became the gods of the northern kingdom. So the northern kingdom never really served God after that. So a prophet comes to Jeroboam and tells him that he's going to be judged for what he's done. And he tried to kill the prophet, and his hand withered. And the prophet, he said, oh, prophet, man of God, pray for me. And his hand got healed. And the man of God told him, I'm not going. And then he said, come back to my palace and I'll give you a reward. He says, I'm not going back to your palace. God told me to come this way and leave another way. All right. So that's the background. So in verse 11, the prophet is going. He's leaving. It says, now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. This is the temptation. And he said, I cannot. Everybody say, I cannot. Return with you, nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water in this with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. So he has a word from God. Amen? This is the same thing Adam and Eve did. But he's talking to a prophet. Everybody say prophet. And we'll have to question that. But he said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. And it says in parentheses, he was lying. So he was a prophet that's lying? Uh-oh. So what happens? He's being tempted. Is he going to do what God says, or is he going to do what the prophet said the angel told him? Notice he didn't say God told him. He said an angel. But remember, angels don't contradict God. Angels don't come up with their own messages. Just Gabriel, he just tells it like it is. I was sent from God. I told you. If you don't believe it, that's your problem. So it says, so he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Verse 20, now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. Okay, now God is going to speak to him. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed me. Everybody say, disobeyed me. Now, isn't this amazing? This is coming out of the man's mouth who deceived him. This is like one of the most bizarre stories in the Bible, I think. And he says, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the command which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back and ate bread and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. And so the story goes on that as he was going home, he was attacked by a lion and he was killed. People tempt you to do things you know you're not supposed to do. And they have a persuasive argument. That's what we call peer pressure. Amen? Of course, in our day and age, it's everybody's doing it. Everybody's got one. Why don't you have one? If you don't have one, you're I don't know if they call you squares anymore, but that's what they called us. And after a while, I said, you know what? I don't mind being a square. If it means that I don't have to go to jail, I'll be a square. Matter of fact, draw a square around me, and I'll keep it around me because I don't want to go to jail. Amen? We can't allow people's opinions of us make us do things that we know we ought not to do. This is something you have to learn as a child, because it happens to young people all the time. Because we always, as young people, we want to fit in. We want to be included. We want to be a part of the in crowd, so to speak. And I know it's no different than it was when I was in school, but there's always the cool group in school, right? Right, kids? And everybody wants to be a part of the cool group. But if they try to get you to do stuff that's not right, you stay away from the cool group and make up your own cool group. The one that'll live righteously and without temptation to others. Amen? I was pretty much alone. I had one good friend and we stayed friends. We're still friends. And I didn't have any, I mean, I had other friends, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, he and I were like this. I mean, we did everything together. We got married almost on the same time. He named his child. We named our children the same thing without knowing it. But we changed it. That's why Marquise's name is Marquise. His name was supposed to be Marcus. But his son was Marcus. So we couldn't, since we were always together, we couldn't say, Marcus, get over here. They both would come. So Marquise, Annis wanted to keep a Q in his name. So that's how it became Marquise. But I was never in for the what everybody else is doing it crowd. I just wasn't in for it. I had enough inside me, or maybe I was afraid of my father enough, where I wasn't trying to figure a way to get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? I didn't go to school so I can get into more trouble at home. So I learned to be separate from the things. Now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't an angel. But when it came to, when I got to older and older and older, the more importance, the less important I attached to being with the group. Amen? Because that's when weed, you know, weed became popular when I was in middle school, or didn't have middle school, junior high. Everybody was trying to smoke weed. Everybody's trying to get me to smoke weed. I said, man, first of all, the stuff does not smell good. So how are you going to ever hide that smell? You come home, act like you didn't do nothing, and you can't get it off you. You know, I can't come in my house like, I don't know about your dad, but if I walked in my house like that, I wouldn't be here today. So I wasn't trying to do that. I wasn't trying to smoke cigarettes. I was trying to be an athlete. So a lot of that stuff, when they offered me, I said, I don't want to do that. I'm trying to be in good condition. I'm trying to keep my mind right. Alcohol, no, not interested in alcohol. Anything that doesn't taste good, I don't want to drink it. I mean, I tasted some alcohol, just, you know, thimbles. I said, you drink this stuff? This is nasty. I don't want it. Beer was terrible. I said, how could you drink this? This is terrible stuff. Give me some Kool-Aid, you know. Give me some 7-Up. 7-Up was strong enough. Back then, it burned your throat back then. Now that the weak 7-Up is like, they put carbonation in this anymore? I mean, it's all watered down. But my point is, I didn't need that stuff. And we've got to let people know that I don't need that to fit in. Because I'm already in. Amen? I'm already fit in because God has made me into his image. Amen? I don't need to be like anybody else. And now with the things they're trying to get us to do, you know, now they want you to teach you that boys are not boys until they determine they're a boy. And a girl is not a girl until she says she's a girl. I heard two stories over the weekend about transgendered things. One was a transgendered man. Well, both of them were men, these stories. Man wanted to be a woman. So he transgendered, and then he became a female body weightlifter. Guess what? He won all the competitions because he's not a woman. He's a man. And then another transgendered man wanted to be a UFC or MMA boxer, and he's fighting women. He broke the eye socket of the woman, caused her irreparable damage because he's a man. And that's why men don't fight women in boxing. You don't see the heavyweight champion of women going to fight the heavyweight champion of men, do you? No. Because he would destroy her. And so, I'm thinking to myself, and I said this to Annis, I says, are we so stupid that we can't see the differences? But the enemy is trying to teach us there is no difference when we all know there are differences. But that's temptation. He's trying to get us to buy into a lie. Amen? And the Bible says if you believe a lie, you'll be damned or condemned. So we have to be careful that we don't get sucked into the lies of the enemy, even when it comes to cultural issues. Amen? And so, I think I'm going to have to unplug it here because it's already 1:45. We got started late, so I don't want to carry it too far. So, we'll pick up here. Next, we'll talk about how we're going to defeat temptation. Amen? So let's stand.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.